This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to the family with
Gelfand.
There we are.
There it is.
Oh, that was Gelfand.
And this is Andy Bernard.
There you go. Brandt Bernard. What do you think of that action?
Can't forget the brand.
All right. What?
Can't forget the brand, even if she's not here right now.
No, she's not there right now. She's wandering around talking to Jude. That's what she's doing.
Jude.
Because of Gelfand, I might have to change the name of my dog because I can't be associated with a Jude. You know what I mean?
Well, but isn't it nice to say, hey, Jude?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jude. It's all true. Are we getting over this, Mike? How are we doing with the Jews in the world? How are we doing?
Well, you know, it's a mess, and
Jesus.
I would say that we're not doing that well. But I think maybe we're on the right path here of telling Netanyahu that if his goal is just complete genocide, maybe we shouldn't give him any more bombs.
Yeah, maybe. You might be right. I don't know. It's just it's an amazing situation. I have never understood this. Well, you're a different faith than I am. You're a different skin color than I am. You're a different orientation than I am. Why do I give a rat's ass about any? I don't care.
Yeah.
Why would you care?
I don't care. I feel like, in some sense, you know, I feel like, okay, well, I'm sort of between the diaspora and a more traditional Catholic neighborhood. But the fact is, what we have here is something that's actually pretty good. You know, I can go down the street and I can knock on the door of a Lutheran, a Jew, a humanitarian Jew, as opposed to like an uber Orthodox Jew. Mm-hmm. We got everything here. You know, I grew up in St. Paul, but I wasn't, you know, far from Highland Park. So everybody assumes, oh, you grew up in Highland Park. No, I did not grow up in Highland Park. I grew up next to closer to St. Thomas. But the thing was, you know, we had a little bit of everything, and nobody got in anyone's religious way. Nobody said, I hate you because of your religion. It wasn't that long ago, and we just didn't talk about it, which is the way to go.
Why do we want to tear ourselves apart the way we do? And I'm talking about the entire world now. And by the way, it's much worse in the Eastern Hemisphere than
it is bad,
here.
It's bad, yeah.
It's horrible. They're supposed to be the leaders. They show us how to go because they would, you know, obviously North Africa was around first. It expanded from there.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot happened in the Western Hemisphere back in the day. Then thousands of years ago, that changed. I still do not understand how I should hate you because of your religion, your skin color, or your orientation. I don't get it.
Well, because hatred works well for some people.
Yeah, it does.
You know, if they can make everybody hate each other, they figure they've got a chance to rule forever. And that's what it's all about. It's just about power. Yes, money, but money and power kind of go together.
One gets you the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It's just getting really, really old, this whole, I hate this and I hate that, and oh my God, how can you date a white man? They're the worst people on earth. Like, would you shut up?
And you know, good the amazing God. Thing is that, so the center, the epicenter now of discord is the college campus. Wait a minute. That's where people are supposed to talk about things. That's where you're supposed to have the dialogue. And they've turned into, it's just crazy.
It's
but you know, I know, I don't know many people who are out there demonstrating, but I know lots of parents who are planning to go to commencement ceremonies. And I mean, I never thought much about commencement ceremonies. First of all, because of course I never came close to graduating from college.
Right.
Know? And in high school, like every kid I went to high school with was the son or daughter, it seemed, of a university professor, right?
Sure.
So I don't think they even showed up. The professor's like, oh yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah. You graduated from high school. Now, you know, because like 50% of the guys in my class were merit scholars. So the idea of high school being a big deal was nothing.
Yeah.
Then yeah. My sons start graduating from high school, and there are people cheering and screaming, you know, celebrating somebody who's maybe was the first one to graduate from high school in their class.
Maybe.
And I figured, like, okay, now we're making some progress. And now we're using the college campus, which is the home of Socratic dialogue, to just basically make people hate each other more.
Even more, yes, exactly. And I really feel sorry for the 22-year-olds out there. Because of COVID, you got no high school graduation. And because of this bullshit, you got no college graduation.
Well, that's they're going to be graduating in most places, but everybody will be looking over their shoulder.
I would imagine. I imagine it's true. I don't understand something here. So they hate Jews, obviously, and they're burning the American flag. What does that have to do with it?
Well, the flag has always been burned, but I didn't see much about
it. Has.
Where are they burning flags now?
Where was it? It was in, I don't remember what city it was in. They were burning a bunch of flags.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's yesterday's news.
It really
come
is.
Come up with something fresh.
I must agree with you on that one. I mean, Andy, you're in a different generation. How do you perceive this whole thing? Is it just going to get worse? Is it going to get better?
It'll get better shortly after the election.
Do you think this is all about the election?
I think a big part of it is, yes.
Like everything, well, it's about power and money.
Yep.
Yet again, something about power and money. I mean, look, you got Biden, you got Trump, you got RFK. None of the three are perfect, let me put it that way.
No.
You know, I did feel yesterday like a worm was eating my brain.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Yes. Crawled in and ate your brain, and then...
So that's the third-party candidate says, you don't need these two old men. A worm was eating my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the guy's young anyway.
No. How old is he?
He's 70.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But he's an old 70.
But you would think so, yeah. He takes his direction, I think, from Putin in that when times get really bad, he makes sure he's photographed with his shirt off.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. Oh, Putin does that all the time,
yeah.
Too. Let me show you how muscular
right,
I am. It's
yeah.
Like, oh, God.
And I'm a Kennedy. Yeah, you are, but everybody who's actually, the other people who are Kennedys have disavowed you. Isn't it
they
interesting, though? I find maybe this is going too far, but I think the guy he's always going to be in the shadow of his uncle, right?
Yes.
So I just couldn't help but think of the fact that, you know, RFK had a worm eating his brain, and JFK had a bullet eating his brain.
Mm. Yes.
Maybe he feels some sort of an affinity with this thing.
And the other RFK had a bullet eating through his entire body, so
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's really great.
What was it about the Kennedys that everybody wanted to murder all of the Kennedys? I still don't understand that. What was that all about?
I think you lie down with the dogs and so forth.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you know, you had the connection with the mob.
Yes.
Yeah.
And your father.
And then, of course, you had, obviously, you had Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and those people didn't mess around.
You ever been to Cuba?
I have not.
I have been there. It's actually, the people there are very, very nice.
Yeah.
But they're sprinkled in with these flaming assholes who just don't like anybody.
I think I could see living in Cuba because my car would be considered new there.
Oh, you got that right. We called for a vehicle to take us to the Tropicana.
Yeah.
Which if you ever go to Cuba, you got to go to the Tropicana.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. The taxi pulls up. 1955 Oldsmobile.
Well, that's a classic car.
It was beautiful too. But they have a different. The engines have been replaced with a Cuban version of an engine.
Yeah.
Which I never did understand what that meant, but apparently they had to redo all the engines in the vehicles. I don't know why.
Huh.
Well, sheer age.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
Probably. probably
they're
true.
Not going to repair them. They don't have the parts, yeah. So they probably just drop new engines in there.
Yeah, my 25-year-old Camry would be considered like a Cadillac.
Oh, absolutely, no question about it. I will tell you though, we really love the people in Cuba. The infrastructure is falling apart like there's no tomorrow. These beautiful old buildings, 100-year-old buildings,
yeah.
are just falling over.
Yeah.
It's really too bad. It's unfortunate. But the Tropicana, if you go to Cuba, you have to go there because you'll think of Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball when you walk. I mean, it's that kind of deal.
And maybe an occasional mafioso.
Oh, yes. Because
they came pouring in there. They figured they were going to take over the Cuban yep. gambling industry.
Yep.
And it didn't work out.
It did not work.
Bugsy had it all planned out.
Mm-hmm.
Because after all, he wasn't that far from Cuba.
You are correct, sir. So I don't know. We'll see how the whole thing shakes out. I just it is kind of sad though. You watch all this stuff with the Trump deal, and then there's the Biden deal, and then there's the RFK deal, and it's just like, really, this is the best we got, huh? This is the good stuff, is it?
Until 4 years from now, you're going to say, man, remember 4 years ago when the candidates were so much better?
How much more wonderful the candidates were.
Yeah. I would rather have Mayor Fry be president than any of these guys.
It's quite the indictment.
What's that?
It's quite the indictment.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah. Yeah. I thought for a second you said he's been indicted, and I thought, not him.
No.
Well, he could be any minute.
It could be. You never know. I mean, he does come out, guys like that come out looking pretty good next to these. But of course, these guys are, getting billions of dollars.
Yes,
they are.
One of them just said to the oil industry a couple days ago, give me $1 billion, you won't have to follow any rules anymore.
Well, there you go.
And it's not, I mean, it's so blatant that you got to almost admire it.
Almost.
Almost, yeah.
Almost is a good way to put it. Yeah, I don't know. I look at the whole situation, and this is the best we can do, huh? This is the top of the shelf right here, top shelf.
Yeah, and the president doesn't really, we still tend to think of the president of the United States as, he's the most powerful man in the world, right?
Not anymore.
I don't think so either.
Nope, not anymore. They're not.
No.
It's too much about the money for them when it was about, and what was it ever... that type of situation. I got to believe, because I was very, very young when he was the president, but Eisenhower had just, helped to win World War II, became the president. Was he a good president? I don't even know.
Well, he was, I what he's best known for is kind of like rebuilding the infrastructure.
Yeah, there's no question.
And basically no one has done it since.
That's true. People don't realize our freeway system was built to move troops. It was not to move just the average Joe going to work every day. Those freeways were built so he could roll tanks and all kinds of stuff down them. They're much bigger.
And also, really, part of it was that, the course, World War II had ended, and you had all these soldiers who were getting out of the Army, getting their GI check, and buying cars, and traveling around the country to see their old Army buddies.
Yes.
So that was a big part of it. I mean, just an emotional part of it, too.
I could see that to be true. There's no question about that. I'm wondering if we ever... I don't know. The leadership of both these parties is so annoying to me. Mm. There is no attempt at all. It's like all-star wrestling. To me, it seems very fake, first of all. Because you couldn't be farther apart, but that's how you make a lot of money. Get even farther apart, we'll make even more money. Is that what this is all about?
I think it's a component.
I do, too. It's just, hey, we're going to put on a fight just like they do on All-Star Wrestling, and you'll come out and put me in a headlock, and then I mean, it's all bullshit, isn't it?
But it is harder and harder to get a headline. I mean, if you have to say that a worm ate your brain just to get a 4-inch headline in the New York Times. That's taking it pretty far. I wonder what killed the worm. I think it was probably malnutrition.
You think?
Yeah, I think if you eat a politician's brain, you're going to die of malnutrition.
There's not a lot there, is that
I don't
what you're
think
saying?
So, no. Maybe a little protein, but...
That's about... Why did that even come up? Why did it come up that he had a worm in his head?
I don't know, because it happened like 15 years ago or something.
Yeah, it was 2010.
So, yeah, why are they all of a sudden all talking about it? Very strange.
Well, I think that it had... I can't say no one knew about it, but I think the story was it broken in the New York Times or maybe the Washington Post?
No, I think it was the Times.
Yeah, and they found some old testimony in which he talked about it. And of course, you know, you'll do anything. I would do it if I was covering this election. I would do anything. This qualifies as a light and lively story. This is like, oh, here's a break from reality. Let's go for it.
We could use some breaks from reality.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a very, very good point. I would like to ask, are we ever going to get back to normal? But have we ever been at normal?
What is normal?
Exactly. What is normal? I mean, I just don't understand hating someone because of their political views. I met you. You're a nice person. You've got no power whatsoever. Why would I give a rat's ass what your political views are? Because they're not going to hurt me anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, we started out wandering. We started out spending the entire day trying to accumulate enough protein and carbohydrates to get to the next day.
Right.
And this is where it's taken us. Maybe we shouldn't have stopped wandering.
You think so?
I think gathering was the way to go.
Hunter-gatherer lifestyle?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, a lot of freedom in that.
Yeah.
It works for wolves.
Yes, it does.
Those guys have great PR.
They do. It's absolutely true. I don't know. I just try to get through the whole situation. I just still never understand. Oh, you're a Republican? Oh, you're a Democrat? I can't talk to you. What?
For a minute, I thought you were doing your RFK imitation.
I was doing that. Oh, yes, exactly. I did the wavering voice deal.
He another story that came out yesterday was that he said he had titanium inserted between his lungs.
Why?
Well, to stop the trembling.
I thought it was between his vocal cords.
Vocal cords, right. Yeah, vocal cords.
What was his vocal cords?
And he felt like that way it would stop this, but it didn't stop it.
Didn't seem to work very well,
no.
I would say.
Mm-mm.
What causes that?
Is it
a brain malfunction?
No, I forget what he has. It's some sort of spasm disorder.
Yeah, it's a spasmodic thing.
Let's see. He has spasmodic dysphonia.
There you go. Whatever that is. But his vocal cords apparently are, they're like, is it the fact that there's not enough space between them, something? And they have tremors?
Oh, maybe.
Something like that. I don't know. He's obviously had enough money to try to get it fixed.
Yeah.
They got a few bucks in that Kennedy family. It's true.
Now, the cause is unknown and the treatment is not really a treatment.
Mm-hmm.
You can paralyze the muscles, in which case you can't talk at all.
Well, that'd be an improvement for most politicians.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll have to do interpretive dance on stage.
My favorite thing about the whole deal is, oh, boy, he's really going to hurt Trump. Oh, boy, he's really going to hurt Biden.
No, he's not.
Well, is he going to hurt both? Is he going to hurt neither?
I don't think he's going to hurt either.
But it's that same old thing where you have, according to the polls, they're just about dead even. So almost anything could be said retroactively to have affected the election.
That is true, I suppose.
But he would hurt the Democrat as a Democrat more than he would hurt the Republican, wouldn't he?
I don't know if he's really considered a Democrat.
Yeah, that's true.
I think maybe the Democrats hate him a lot more because they feel like he should have been another Kennedy and he wasn't.
Was there more than one Kennedy? Because Ted wasn't exactly a great Kennedy either.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there was a time when, of course, all you had to do was say Kennedy, right?
Yes, yes.
But let's face it, that's long gone now.
I still love there's a place called the Palm Beach Grill. It used to be called O-Bar, A-U-B-A-R. And when it was called O-Bar, it's still there. It does very, matter of fact, you can't even get in the damn place. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a place called O-Bar, and apparently Ted Kennedy was kicked out of there once for taking his pants off in the bar. That's a true story, by the way. It's not made up. It actually did happen. He took his pants off in the middle of a bar on Palm Beach Island.
Well, he hadn't gone commander, has he? Commando?
I think he was Commando.
Oh, see, that would be the turning point for me.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
I wouldn't care if he took his pants off, but...
You know, they did kick the family off the island. You did know that, right?
There's an island?
Palm Beach Island.
Oh, I did not know
that. Yeah, there used to be a Kennedy complex on the island, but they're not there anymore because they were... No, very few people know this. They were not asked to leave. They were told to leave. They had enough of Ted, apparently. Because I guess Ted used to embarrass the piss out of them constantly. They didn't like that on Palm Beach Island. They don't like that kind of stuff.
Dignified, you know? You're saying?
Yes, dignified. That's exactly what I'm saying. Very dignified. I don't know. Will we ever get to a point where... Well, first of all, we're not all going to get along because there's too much money to be made fighting. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah.
So we're never going to all get along. But when are people going to be smart enough to realize you're being used on a daily basis by these scumbags to make money? You need to understand that because it's true.
Yeah, and you know, the more they lie, the more these people lap it up.
Yeah. Well, and why is that, do you think? They want it to be true, so it's true?
I think that they can't understand the world. It's like everything is in discord. Their brains have all been eaten by some sort of worm. And the only way they can handle all this is to believe in this grand conspiracy theory, because reality just confuses people.
That is a 100% fact, by the way, that reality confuses people, and I don't know why. Wouldn't you want to know what reality is? Wouldn't you want to know all the facts before you get so upset?
Well, the problem is, you know, that could also be... That could be called a really ugly word, which is journalism.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's very.
But
very
that's. True. I mean, the reason that I wanted to be a journalist was so, I guess, basically, I wanted to understand this stuff, and I loved the fact that there was so much to uncover. But those very things now people don't want.
Yeah, I suppose.
I was interesting. Of course, I thought it was a good sign. You know, when they sent questionnaires to all the would-be jurors for the current Trump trial.
Yeah.
And pretty much everyone who was from New York, I mean, they were all from New York one way or the other, but the people who lived in New York had grown up in New York, when they asked them where they got their news, they actually almost all said the New York Times. I thought they would say Instagram, Facebook, something like that. But they actually said the New York Times, which I think, I don't know, that heartened me because, you know, you've got a lot of people saying, oh, the New York Times, it's the failing New York Times. You know, it's not failing. New York Times is doing very well. But the problem is every other newspaper is in trouble.
There's no doubt about it. I just really wish that people would understand you're in misery because other people make money by putting you in misery.
Yeah.
Don't fall for it.
No.
It's just don't fall for their crap. It's absolutely ridiculous to hate it. Why would I possibly care what one person thinks? You're not going to change an election with one person.
No, I say drop some opioids and sit back and just ignore this stuff.
I would
do it if I could.
You don't want to do any opiates?
Oh, no, I desperately want to do opiates.
Okay. Well,
but, you know, as you get older, you got to kind of temper that down a little bit.
Plus, you can't get them anymore.
They're getting pretty tough.
They sure are.
Yeah, doctors are all scared.
Yep.
So people who actually are suffering and have pain that can only be, I would say, ameliorated by opioids and opioids, they're the ones, they can't get it. Because the doctors say, you know what, I can't give you OxyContin. Dilaudid's out of the question. However, you know, they got, if you go to Target, they've got acetaminophen on sale.
Yeah, they do.
They will actually tell you to take,
which
is not a, I've talked about this, but it's not a painkiller. It does nothing for pain.
Yeah, I had my surgery and I ran out of pills because they gave me like 3 days worth.
Right.
And I was like, hey, the pain's still pretty bad. And they were like, oh, yeah, you can try taking some Tylenol.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that'll do the trick.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing about that? By coincidence, I just had a full physical yesterday. Right. at my yearly physical. I went in for my physical and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the interview before Dr. D came in, and by the way, what a great doctor this man is. Just a brilliant guy. Dougie Dawson, and he introduced me to this doctor. He's doing my whole deal. One thing I will say before I get into the other part is every year I forget how much the anal exam hurts.
Jesus, I would imagine that hurts.
It's like, good God, it's like they're putting a goddamn baseball bat up your keister. But I suppose if you don't use it for anything other than pooping, it doesn't get very big, does
it? Yeah, it's designed to be small.
And then what I hate are the smart aleck doctors who say, what the hell is this big thing? Oh, it's your prostate.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
The interesting thing about that yesterday, so I'm doing my pre-physical interview, and they said to you, what about this, this, and this? I go, okay, blah, 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 blah. Then we go, okay, what kind of drugs are you on? I said, none. No, we mean like sleeping for this, for that, for nervousness. What are you on? I said, nothing. I don't take drugs. They said, what? Apparently, everybody is on some kind of drug now.
Well, yeah,
I know,
and as
I
you,
am.
And they like, I think for, I know this is true for men, but I assume it's true for women, maybe to a lesser extent. You turn 50, okay, here's a prescription for statins.
Yeah,
everybody's supposed to take statins.
Yep.
Well, it shows that it'll cut your probability of having a stroke or heart attack. It's going to be 9% more if you don't take these. Yeah, okay, that sounds good, except when you take them, and then the next day you feel like you just ran a marathon, and then the day after that you're watching the news on TV, and you can't remember what the anchor said a minute earlier. Yeah, except for that, they're great.
So statins do that to you, really?
To me, they do, yeah. Oh, yeah, trying to get me to take statins, and I take it for a couple of days. Yeah, that's a very common side effect of statins is the fact that it makes your legs just weak and pain.
Yeah, I took them very briefly because of high triglycerides, and it made my legs hurt. I was like, what the hell's going on? I can't take these.
No.
You know what's funny about that you guys mentioned this because they thought that I should, I need a little, because I always wake up at 2:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Every night I wake up at 2:30 in the morning. So I asked him if there's some mild, you know, medication. I don't want anything not knocking me out or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Is there a mild medication? And they also recommended I take statins for my cholesterol. Because mm-hmm. it's not high, but it's a little, it's a couple of ticks high.
Of course.
But now you guys should say I should not do that. Because Catherine said, don't do that. That's a huge mistake.
Well, I mean, I think if you take them and you don't have any of those side effects and you're prone to something, but this sounds like you're not. I mean, you know, they're talking about like you know, 1 or 2% maybe here. If you just,
yeah,
you know,
oh, okay.
I mean, that's what I would suspect. So it certainly isn't, I mean, for me, it's just not even it's not something I would even ever think about again.
Right.
I mean, I might live an extra year, but it would be in great pain and confusion.
So what are statins for? Why were they developed?
I think Andy can explain it better.
What am I explaining?
Statins.
How they work?
I'm actually not sure what the mechanism by which they work is.
But what are they? What are they for?
They are for reducing cholesterol.
It is for reducing cholesterol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And cholesterol is the number one reason people have heart attacks. It gets in those little. Coronary mm-hmm. arteries, and you know, once yeah. it's in there, it's very hard to get out, if not impossible.
Oh, so, they're doing great things these days, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the number one preventable cause of death in the country, so there's going to be a lot of research going into it.
So you think I should try them, and just if they do what they do to you guys, I should just give up doing them?
Oh, I would say if you try them, bail at the first bit of pain.
So it's, yeah. it causes pain.
Yep, causes well, me leg pain.
It goes right to the legs for some reason.
Oh, I don't need
it's
that.
It's like the first day you might not feel it. The second day, you get up and you think, wow, did I walk like an extra 5 miles yesterday? That's the weird thing about it is it's exactly the kind of pain you would feel if you just overdid something.
Well, that's not going to work for me because I walk 8 miles a day every day. I don't skip any days, so I don't need
my
legs hurt.
I would say that's better than statins.
Okay, so maybe I just won't do them.
As far as sleep goes. Now, I know we talked about this. You've tried. It seems like half the people I know are taking trazodone.
Oh, are they?
Well, trazodone is—it's you know—if somebody goes to a doctor and they're a good doctor, they know what's going on, and they say to the doctor, I can't get to sleep anymore. Or I'm sleeping, you know, 5 hours a day. The doctor's going to give them trazodone.
I have a question for you. What is it about 2:30 in the morning that's when I wake up every night? What is that?
It could be a primal thing.
I wake up every night multiple times.
Is there one time you look at the clock and you know what time it's going to be?
No, not usually. I just wake up at random.
Well, you know, back a few thousand years ago, people had first and second sleep.
That is true.
What's that now?
Well, first sleep, you because part of it was because people had to go to bed when it got dark out, right?
Right, that's true, yeah.
So you might go to sleep. Let's say at you know 6 o'clock at night,
right.
So people would sleep for a few hours, maybe 4 hours, whatever, and then they'd get up, and then they wouldn't try to get right back to sleep. You know, they'd make some tea, they might have sex, they might read a book, except there were no books, so I guess that's out of the question. They would chat instead. They would chat. Back then, people chatted. You know,
yeah,
and they didn't all argue, and. And then they would achieve second sleep after that. So the worst thing, I think, well, I don't know, maybe you go right back to sleep. But for most people, if you have that going for you, you know, it's better up. You're better off, like I said, read or something, and then get comfortable and go back to sleep.
That'd be a good thing because I do have to go back to sleep because I go to bed at 10 o'clock. So 4.5 hours of sleep is not enough.
No, you got to figure out how to. How to integrate that second sleep in there?
I'm going to have to fit. Well, right now, there's a minor medication I take that does put me back to sleep, but I don't want to wake up every night and take drugs to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I don't want to do that.
I mean, it just depends on what the effects are. It's the problem that people have with taking anything for sleep is that you can't really set your brain to be up and alert at a certain hour.
No.
So generally speaking, people wind up being, you know, a little tired when they get up. I take trazodone because if I didn't, I'd go to sleep at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go to bed at 5 a.m.
No, you don't.
So, but I, one thing I do notice about trazodone is that I don't think I'm getting enough REM.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's not good.
Drug-induced sleep is, very shallow sleep.
Yeah, you just don't get to that you know, that phase as easily. And then it doesn't last, when REM doesn't last as long. So I don't know. I mean, I dream and all that, but I don't have the luxurious REM sleep that I might have been able to have without the trazodone. But I wake up pretty alert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I asked a doctor yesterday about this. Is it common? And we had a little talk about it. Because every night I have a nightmare. Every night. I could be in the best mood of anybody on earth when I go to bed. You know, kiss and hug Catherine goodnight. Pet Jude goodnight. I sleep for a few hours. And I guarantee you I will have a nightmare that will wake me up at 2:30 in the morning.
Is it the same nightmare?
It's about the same thing.
Yeah.
And you're not going to like what it's about.
Yeah.
I have a nightmare every night about trying to trust human beings. That's a fact.
That's not a nightmare. Sad? That's reality.
Yeah, that would be reality. That's not a nightmare, Tom. That's just reality. It does bother me that people will do anything for money or fame or anything like that. Mm. People will use you and they will abuse. And I just don't understand why people are like that. Get off your ass. Go get a job. Go achieve what you want to achieve. Just don't prey on other people to do it. Right?
Yeah. I. It's easier said than done, yeah.
You got that right.
I don't know. I think you almost have to learn how to live with that.
Well, I have had to learn because it's been going on since I was 7 years old.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
I know what it's like. You know, you wake up one day and no one's there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I know that one. And that will make you not a very trustful person.
Well, when I was 7 years old, they hauled my old man away in a straitjacket, so that might have had something to do with
it.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, watching that as a 7 year old.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, you know, and look, I do get back to sleep because of some of the stuff that I, you know, I can take that or what. I mean, even like 10 milligrams of THC will put me back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And THC really doesn't hurt you in any way, shape, or form that I know of anyway.
Yeah.
Do you guys know about it? It doesn't hurt you, does it, Andy?
It depends on your definition of hurt, I suppose. I mean, you can definitely become dependent on it.
Well, that's true. Yeah, anything like that. I don't know. I'd like to figure it out, but man, there's some great doctors out there now. I will tell you that. There's no question about it. They're very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So what else is going on in the world? Anything positive in the world?
Well, Timberwolves are basically already the NBA champions. It's just they gotta just go through the formalities of playing more games.
Seems like it.
But nobody can touch them at this point.
Do you believe that is true? Because a lot of people think that is true, that they cannot be touched.
Well, it might be different when they play Oklahoma City or Boston for the championship.
Yeah, true.
I think everyone's kind of figuring they're going to play Boston for the championship.
Yeah, yeah.
That might be a better game. But this is not, it's not even interesting to watch.
But these teams are supposed to be good.
Well, they're all good. I mean, they are great athletes.
Yeah.
But they just got a thing going. I mean, the interesting thing is that Connolly, the general manager, he's been taking bows all year because everybody said the Rudy Gobert deal was a terrible thing.
Oh yeah.
And here's Rudy, and you know they're winning by 20 points a game. But it was interesting to me that he didn't play the other day against Denver in the game two.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he had the silly excuse that his wife or girlfriend or somebody was going to give birth to their child.
Okay.
I mean, come on. I mean, look, I understand I need to be there in that situation, but these are professional athletes. I mean, it just disappoints me. A lot of people bet on these games, and they're disappointing everyone and corrupting the whole idea of gambling. You know, basically, sports is around for gambling now. It's not the other way around.
No, you're absolutely right about that. Gambling is huge now.
So when Rudy Gobert decides, I'm not gonna show up just for a little thing like a son being born, or maybe it was a daughter, I can't even remember, but it was a child. I mean, you know, these guys have softened up, and they need to understand that gamblers depend on them. So Rudy doesn't show up, and they still win by 25 points or 20 or whatever it was. So,
against a good team, by the way.
Well, I mean, Denver was favored to win the series.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I bet on the Timberwolves.
So you did bet on it. I have to ask you a question, and I'm very serious about this. Isn't it time to raise the basket by a couple of feet?
they could never do that.
It's not as entertaining?
Well, yeah, you don't watch basketball games very often, NBA games, but, you know, there's probably about 30 times during the game when the announcer starts screaming and yelling because someone dunked the ball.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, what? It's,
they're remembering when it was exciting 80 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's like when your kid is playing T-ball and he hits the pipe, but the ball falls off and the kid runs to first base and the parents cheer.
Mm-hmm.
No, why would you cheer? Why would you go crazy when a guy drops the ball into the hoop? I'm sorry, that's not that big a deal anymore.
No, and that's why they should raise the basket to 12 feet, because I would guess about 80% of them couldn't dunk anymore.
But then the announcers wouldn't have anything to scream about.
That's true. You're absolutely right about
that. No, they'll never do that. Yeah, I think it. What happened this year was, routinely, teams were scoring like 140 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, the number of points just exploded this year. I don't know why. I think part of it, though, is because you could do anything you want to do when you have the ball.
Yeah.
You can run over someone. You can push them down. And they can't call the fouls like they used to. So teams are getting, you know, scoring 2 or 3 points instead of a free throw or two. But basketball is a dangerous sport. It's far more a contact sport than football is now.
You're absolutely right about that. It is a contact sport like it's never been before.
No, they push and they shove and they grab. Yep. Sometimes they take their opponent's pants down. It doesn't matter. They can do anything they want to.
It's true. So you do think the Timberwolves might be world champions at the end of this season?
If I had to bet on one team, I would bet on them.
Yeah.
I didn't bet on them to win the championship. I just bet on them to win the series with Denver because I was getting 2-1, pretty good odds. But right. Denver's not quite what they used to be.
From one year to the next, something changed that major.
Yeah, I mean, it can happen. It does happen all the time to any team, and teams go the other direction. I mean, nobody thought Oklahoma City would have a winning record this year.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, they look like they might be probably a team that matches up best against the Timberwolves. That doesn't mean they'll win a game against them.
No, that's true. That's very, very
but
true.
But we got our hometown guy to root for there,
mm-hmm.
Chet Holmgren.
There you go.
I like the fact that he's a local guy, but I can't betray my people by cheering on a guy who's 7 feet tall. I have a responsibility to the little people.
I suppose that is true, isn't it? No question. Now, moving on to baseball, the Twins keep winning games. They're not playing the best teams in baseball. I understand that. But they've won, what the hell have they won, like 18 of their last 20 games or something?
Sounds about right, yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, they had the 12-game streak.
Yes, they had the 12 games. But I will tell you, in the preseason, that team looked terrible. They were terrible in the preseason.
Yeah, it's all about pitching.
It is, isn't it? That's a very good point.
It's whether you can, first of all, you got to get 5 innings from your starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 6. And then you start bringing on the guys who throw the ball 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And if those guys can stay healthy, which they rarely can, it's a matter of how many of these guys will have sore arms by the All-Star break.
Yeah, it's going to be most of them, isn't it?
Well, because, you know, relief pitchers are if you give them a day off, that's a big deal. But when you got a starter going five innings, you're going to have the relief pitchers pitching essentially the same number of innings as the starter. I mean, collectively.
Yeah. I mean, remember we were in our 30s at the time. There was a pretty good pitcher in Texas could throw 104 miles an hour, and nobody else could even approach that.
Yeah, Ryan.
Now they can all do it. Ryan was Ryan.
Yeah.
They all can throw 104 now. Well, Jesus.
That's the upper end of the scale, but it doesn't shock you anymore when they can.
No.
Well, the Twins have they've got the Duran who can get it up over 100.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what every team wants. You know, they don't draft. I mean, first of all, you know, like in the baseball draft goes on forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like this guy's in the 40th round or something. I don't know, but 2/3 of the people they're drafting are just high school kids who can throw the ball 95 miles an hour.
It's true.
That's all it is. He doesn't know how to pitch, but we'll figure that one out. We'll figure it out after he has surgery.
When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
The Tommy John, baby, that's come on big time, hasn't it?
Yeah, I wish I'd invested in Tommy John 20 years ago.
Yeah, you got that right. Make a lot of money on that surgery.
So I think it's a question of how healthy these guys will be, you know, once July comes around. Because one thing I've noticed is that the batting average is pretty good, but they're not hitting the home runs that we would have expected. And guys like Max Kepler, who never had a good year, except maybe the second half of last year, he's hitting like .310 now, but he's just hitting singles.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that maybe there's a new trend there. Maybe they're teaching these guys just to put the ball in play. Because they did lead the league in strikeouts, last year, a couple years ago. They struck out, and they still struck out. You know, I think Seattle strikes out more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Pittsburgh does, but the Twins are right up there in strikeouts per game, but they have reduced it. It was like 10 last year. It's probably more like about 8.5 this year. So I think these guys, for whatever reason, are putting the ball in play.
I have noticed that the attendance is not very good for a team that seems to be winning a lot of games right now. They're not in first place or anything, but, I mean, their attendance is not very good.
That's because that's what Minnesota does, is we start off good and then we become bad and everyone knows it.
We're going to get there.
Why join the bandwagon if it's just going to crash halfway down the road?
Well, and when they're playing, you know, say the White Sox or Detroit, people aren't going to – I mean, it's not cheap to go to a ball game.
That too.
Especially if you throw in the Tony Oliva Cuban sandwich.
Oh, I love the Tony Oliva.
I've heard good things about it.
It is a great sandwich. There's no question about that. No, you're right about that. We always talk about the fact that when I was a first season ticket holder back in the 70s, it was sometime in the 70s, I think 77, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I had four tickets right behind the Twins dugout in the second row, and I believe each ticket was $11. I think it was $44 a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back in those days. And now, what is it now, 160,000?
Well, I think for 160,000, you may be able to get a front row seat at a Timberwolves game.
That's about right.
I wish I had invested in them.
God, can you believe that? Andy, did you know Alex was such a huge Timberwolves fan?
I did not.
I didn't either. I had no idea. She's a huge Timberwolves fan.
He's talking about him.
Dan has always been a fan, so she kind of jumped on the bandwagon. She loves watching the Timberwolves, no doubt about it.
I just tell her not to scream every time they dunk the ball.
Yeah, that'd be a little embarrassing. You're right about that.
Those fans, though, they are, they're out of the world because, after all, they've been deprived for a long time.
Yeah, since 1961, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is that when the,
yeah, I think
is that
so. Was it 61 or no, wait a minute.
Or was it later?
It was later, yeah.
Wasn't much later, though. They've been in L.A. for a long time now.
Maybe it was 61. You might be right about that.
Andy, would you look up and see when the Lakers moved to Los Angeles?
It might have even been earlier, now that I think about it. I remember
1960.
Yeah, 60.
60.
Yeah.
There you go.
I remember seeing them play in the Armory.
Oh, they played. That's right. They played in the Armory, and so did the Globetrotters,
yeah,
by the way.
They played in other places. They didn't actually even have a home court.
No,
it's like,
not.
Hey, yeah, this is Sid Hartman calling. Yeah, I'm general manager of the Lakers.
Yeah,
say, do you think we could get a game in the Armory this Friday? No, I'm sorry, we got a wrestling match coming up. Oh, okay.
God.
Yeah,
isn't that amazing?
So they just would, you know, they'd hunt around for. That does sound like something Sid would do, though, right?
How did Sid end up being a sports reporter since he was the general manager of the Lakers, was he not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how did he go back into reporting?
I don't think he ever did, actually, but...
Well, that's very nice.
Well, Sid, the thing about Sid, you know, there are various types of journalists. There's investigative journalists and this and that. Sid was an access journalist, and I don't think he would have argued the point. That was his thing, was getting access to very famous players. You know, he didn't start out as a sports writer.
No, he did not. You're absolutely right. That's why I was asking that question.
Yeah.
Did he become a sports writer after he was general manager, right?
That's probably right, yeah.
I think that's right anyway.
Maybe almost simultaneous, yeah.
Yeah, it might have been
simultaneous. And I loved it when Sid would say, well, you couldn't do this today.
Well, he always used to say
actually,
that,
yeah. Sid, you couldn't do it then either. You just did. But it is true. There are no ethics in sports journalism.
I just, listening to old Sid recordings is still one of my favorites. My favorite, of course, is Martina Navratilova.
Oh, yeah.
It is one of the great interviews. You ever heard that interview, Andy?
I think so.
Martina Navratilova. God damn it.
Yep.
Okay, now I'm going to do it again. I'm not going to make any mistakes.
I miss Sidney. I really do.
Yeah.
I used to sit at the Lincoln Dell out there on Highway 12, which is now 394, and sit there with Sidney and talk everything about the world. It was everything. And then once in a while, somebody else would join us. We would just sit there with all these like movie stars, rock stars, all this whole deal. Kiss was in town, so a couple of those guys showed up and had lunch with Sid and me at the Lincoln Bell. I was just like, what?
I still have the very warm memories of sitting at my desk in the sports department. And when Sid comes barging in, looks at me and says, Gelfand, you went too far this time.
Too far this time, Gelfand.
And it would always put a smile on my face.
Put a smile on my face, too. I will tell you that.
Yeah.
Are all towns like, I know Chicago is quite a lot like that, too. The very powerful, famous sports writers in Chicago. It was a lot like that as well.
Almost every city had that.
Oh, okay.
Sid was an exaggeration of that particular species, but almost every city had somebody like Sid, a guy who usually wrote a column, and you know, he was the guy in that town. He was the guy everybody mm-hmm. turned to, and in Chicago, which of course, you know, was always at least a two newspaper town.
Yes, sir.
If you nobody in the sports department had more power and more readers than Mike Royko, but
oh, Royko was huge.
Royko was, yeah. I used to take the when I was living in Evanston, I'd take the train home from work, and that time Royko was writing in the Sun Times, which was the afternoon paper, and everybody would buy. They buy their copy of the Sun Times in the terminal there, and then they'd get in the train, and then the train would pull out, and everybody would open up the Sun Times to Royko's column,
right,
page 3.
Right. Yep.
And then you'd hear everybody laughing at the same time.
Royko was really good, man.
Well, yeah, and he had the great advantage of having helpers, leg men, we used to call them.
Well, leg men, yeah, that's a whole different argument.
Yeah, and Breslin had leg men, too. So those were the guys who actually did the reporting.
Isn't that kind of cheating?
I always thought, when I found out about that, I was really disappointed because I was always a big fan of Royko and Breslin. And then I found out they had leg men, and it just turned him down a notch. When I was living in Chicago, Royko wrote a column that shocked everybody one day. He wrote a column, it must have been a Christmas column, and he thanked his leg men and for the first time actually mentioned their names and the fact
that.
And somewhat from what people in Chicago were saying. And Monday morning, Royko strides into the newsroom, and one of the leg men comes up and says, God, that was so nice what you did for us. Really, I can't thank you enough for mentioning us. And Royko said, shut the fuck up, I'm never doing it again.
Well, that'll happen, I suppose.
And I think it's probably true that he never did it again.
You know, looking back at the time, like Charlie Walters over in St. Paul, you had Sidney, of course, and several other people in Minneapolis. The newspaper coverage, I do miss the newspaper coverage of the sports. I mean, I'd look it on the website, the Star Tribune website, the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. I used to love, though, picking up that newspaper, particularly on Sunday morning, and reading all that stuff. I really do miss that a lot.
Yeah, and now what's happened, I didn't think it would get worse, but it got so much worse. Mm-hmm. Now the people who cover sports they're just cheerleaders.
Yes.
Every single story they write is about how great one player or another one is. And then if they miss a player, then they'll say, oh, my God, I never wrote a great column, you know, a column about how great Jose Miranda is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'll do for Sunday. I'll write a column about what a wonderful player he is. They never even hint that there may be some holes in the bats.
Yeah, there is that. You know, just looking back at the whole thing, whether it's television reporting, radio reporting, newspaper reporting, I don't know the people who are a generation ahead of us, Mike. I don't know if people realize how much talent there was in the Twin Cities as far as performers, on-air people, writers.
Yeah.
We had some damn good... I mean, you and Cannon became really good friends. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Well, I used to leave City Hall when they imprisoned me with the City Hall beat. I used to leave City Hall at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then a little earlier, and then I would run into Cannon. Well, I wouldn't really run into him. The two of us would meet at the yogurt shop across the street from WCCO Radio.
Not the Little Wagon?
And not the Little Wagon, no. Well, Cannon was just about to start his day. I think there was a time when Cannon did like to go over to Gannon's and have a few martinis.
Oh, you got that right. He would go to Gannon's.
But by then he was just eating the yogurt. And so, you know, we'd go there and we'd chat. And then since it was right across the street from WCCO, of course, they blared all the WCCO program.
Sure.
Into the yogurt place. And so I'd be chatting with Cannon, and then his theme song would come on.
Oh, God, his theme song was wonderful.
Yeah. And I'd say, I'd get kind of nervous. I'd say, Steve, they're playing your theme song. He'd say, Boy Chick, they'll wait for me.
That was Steve.
But it was what a great thing for him to say, you know, I'm a star, they'll wait for me, rather than I just grab them by, well, you know. What I'm going to say.
Isn't it amazing, though, when you look at today and now the major influence of that company is George Soros? That's sad.
Well, he's the guy. It was his fund. They paid like $400,000?
$400 million.
$400 million, I mean, yeah. Which seems like they overpaid.
Yeah, it kind of does, since radio is kind of worthless now, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, FM's still holding on a little bit. AM is just totally washed up. And FM ain't going to be far behind, I will tell you that.
Well, since they're making new cars without AM radio,
yep.
I would say that's a pretty good kiss of death.
They're trying to make that illegal, though.
Yeah?
Why?
Because AM stations are mad about it.
Well, you can't make it illegal to not have an AM radio in your car.
Apparently they want to.
That's a little far to take.
Well, the thing is, they are a civil defense necessity.
That's true. They have good point.
Remember when? What chain was it? Oh, I think it was. It was the biggest chain at the time. Anyway, they decided. Oh, you know what? We'll just start buying the stations in the small towns because we bought up all the ones in the big towns, right? Mm-hmm. And they weren't quite bankrupt yet, but they were well on the way. So then they somehow hit on, I believe it was Minot, and they came in there and they said, well, you know, there's no point in buying one station. We'll just buy every station in Minot. So they bought every station, and then they automated all of them.
God.
Which means, for those who don't know, basically they just fired everybody.
Yep.
And then they just recorded lead-ins to songs and the local weather. Yep. So there was no one actually there. And then one day a train derails, and there are toxic fumes clouding over the city. And, of course, so the people at City Hall said, well, we better get to all the radio stations, tell them that people have to evacuate.
Nope.
But nobody answered the phone at any of the stations.
Nope. All right, we got 1 minute left. Any closing thoughts?
I would just say the thing I've learned in the last 24 hours is if you're going out to a restaurant to eat, make sure that the cook, the chef, washes his hands after he takes a poop.
Oh, God. Did that happen again?
Well, that's one of the theories about how a guy could wind up with a parasite eating his brain.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
All right, let me go think about that for 24 hours. All right, fellas, have a good day.
You too.
Bye.